Shalom everyone. Happy Sunday. All right. We would like to let the kids go to their Sunday school service. Already. If I can have everyone's attentions. Can you guys follow me? I'm going to do some games with you guys. Can you put your hands like this? Peace. Who likes tea? Peace. Yeah? Okay. All right. And then put your hand on your cheek. On your cheek. So who put, okay, hold it there. Who put their hands on the cheek? Be honest. Who put it on your chin? Okay, so actually you guys are following me the wrong way. Actually, I asked you to do it in the cheek, but you just follow me because I just accidentally do this. That means you're paying attention, right? All right, good. I think there's a lot of new people. Who's here the first 2 weeks? Oh, maybe let's do this. Who has never seen us? Who has never seen me? So many. I guess I know these people, but I actually don't know them. Okay, so my name is David. You can call me Kodavid. I think I am old enough that you can call me Kodavid now. who's here was born in the year of 2000-something? Raise your hand. I know you. Raise your hand. Okay, just to give you a comparison. When you were in 2000, when you were just a baby boy, a baby girl, I'm already fly on the way here to U.S. So when you're still like, you know, don't know anything, I'm already moving here. So just to give you a perspective of how old I am. How does this work? Okay, so here's my family. Again, my name is David. That's my wife, Chiyuli. Chiyuli is in the back. You want to say hi? So people know. She looks more beautiful in real person than in the pictures. And that's our 4.5-year-old Amy. Amy is also, actually, she's on the back. So that's our family. We are actually the family of Pinol. So if, for some of you who doesn't know, Pinol also have another church in San Ramon. So we actually have been going there for the past one year now. So it's been an interesting journey to be away from this lovely home. And it's always good to be back here. Okay. Okay, so this one. So if you think that I'm a little bit doesn't know what I'm talking about, please forgive me because I just come back from Korea yesterday, so I'm still jet lag. Both Julian, one of the things that you probably should know about us, we love to travel. So we took Amy to 6 countries now. She's only 4, but she's been to 6 countries. She went to Singapore in Indonesia when she was 2 months old. That's how we love travel, that we brought our kids like 2 months ago. Go all the way half the world to Indonesia. Anyway, so this is interesting new ventures. It's stuff that I eat in Korea. This is the first time I eat this one. It's called beef sashimi. Anyone has that one before? It's a raw beef sashimi. Okay, whenever you go to Korea, you should try that one. That's really good. Okay, so anybody hungry? Okay, so let's jump to the topic. We are continuing the series of serving, I believe, our ministry. I think that's what we're doing for this month. And we are continuing in the book of Mark, chapter 10. We're going to read the first from first 1 to 12. So this is how I'm going to do this. Instead of doing odds and even, you guys read the top one. I read the top one. You guys read the bottom one. You guys see, you know, the top and bottom? Okay. All right, let's go. 1, 2, 3. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Go ahead. Some Pharisees came in and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you to keep by your wife?" He said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. But at the beginning of creation, God made the male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. All right, thank you. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this week. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, so that this message can come to our heart and change our lives, so that when we come to this place, we can depart after hearing your word and your sermon, Lord Jesus, we can live and depart from this place as a different person, a better person, because we know you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless everyone who's here today, and may your word become real and alive in every one of us. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so it's hard to discuss about this because some of you are not married, right? Okay, so it's kind of tricky for me. So I just want you to focus on this verse, the one in yellow. It says, "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh." So I'm hoping at one point in your life, you'll get married. Who doesn't want to get married? I hope every one of you want to get married, because a married life is a very wonderful and full of challenge life. Take it from someone who has married who's been married for 7 years. But thing I want to point out here, because it's about uniting two persons, two individuals into one. And for whatever reason, this is such a important things to God, about having a family, having a married life. And when I study about this, when I meditate upon this, I say, God, it's so challenging to share with you guys about this. And I read about what does it mean to be married and what does it mean to be all that stuff. And I actually came to this verses, and this first comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And in there, God, who knows about the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible? Not the very last one, the very first book. It starts with the what story? Anybody knows? The creation story. So when God first created the world, that's when it basically started in the book of Genesis. And on the sixth day, this is basically what happened. God created man and a woman. When God created man and woman, this is when God says that your two will become one flesh. And you're no longer two, but you're one flesh. And I feel like, wow, it is such an important thing that family matters to God. A family is an important thing that actually God make that as a first and the longest institutions since the creation story. So you have maybe gone through many governments, you have gone through many organizations in your life, but you know what? Family is one of the first ones. When you were born into an institution, which is called a family. There's your dad, there's your mom, and there's you. That three of you at least make a family. And there will be your brother, maybe, right? So this concept of family is very dear to God's heart. And in the Genesis 1:27-31, after he created man and Adam and Eve, the first male and female, he said this: God blessed them. Be prosper, reproduce or multiply, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Then God said, I have given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree, giving them to you for food. To all animals and all birds, everything that moves and breathes, I give whatever grows out of the ground for food. God looked over everything he had made, and it was so good, so very good. So, in God's eye, a family is so important, and he blessed it, and he looked at it to be something that is very, very good. Do you guys have any amen for that one? Amen. So God actually had a very good intention to create a family. He doesn't just create a family for nothing, but he has a very good intent for that. But reality check. Reality check, when I look at my life, specifically my life, and when I was growing up, I grew up in a family that's not necessarily so loving family. I grew up with a lot of challenges. I have a lot of dissatisfactions, unhappiness when I grew up. And also when I look at my own family now, I feel like this is more like my family, this is how my family looks like, than before. This is such a loving family, everybody listen, reading Bible together, sharing, and I'm actually look like more like this guy here. Angry maybe a little bit, I don't know. But I feel like this is more me than the previous one. And I said, God, does that make sense for something that you created for a good intent that actually I experiencing more of this? And some of you, I hope not all of you, but some of you, like me, myself, have a lot of challenge with our family, right? When God asks us to be prosper, sometimes we are faced with the challenge about like keeping our jobs, sometimes keeping about how to pay for our food the next day. Sometimes some of us are confused about what major we want to take tomorrow, or maybe not tomorrow, but whatever year. Some of us are confused about what class to take. Some of us are confused about, I'm not doing well with this class, but I really need it for my major, so what should I do, right? Some of us actually struggle with disability, physical illness. Some of us have just so many challenges in life, right? And some of us also may be raised in a family that is not necessarily full of harmony. Sometimes our parents doesn't care about us. Sometimes we also rebel against our parents. Sometimes the house is just messy. Many things, right? And I come from one of those family. I did not come from a perfect family. My family raised me in the way that you only know your consequences when you do negative things. When you do something good, because you have to do good. They only give me feedback when I did something bad. So when I grew up, I never practice of hugging and expressing I love you, Dad, I love you, Mom. It's very hard for me until today. It's just because I was raising up in a place where very disciplined, very hard, very disciplined. And when I met Chiyuli's wife, Chiyuli's family, I hope you don't have another wife. I was very surprised the first time, because when I came with her, the first thing that she does is actually kissing her brother in the cheek. And I'm like, and it's so custom for them to basically kiss each other. How many people does that in the family? Kissing your brothers or your sisters. I was really not used to it, and I was really surprised. And that's how different my family was, right, compared to her. So, but anyway, let's see. Okay, so let me go back. So God think of a family as a very important thing, right? And then reality is some of us are actually full of challenges, right? And I think the reason why, let me go back. I'm sorry, I don't have the slide for this. Here we go. They say, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away because your hearts were very hard. So even though we are a family, we were ordained by God to have a blessed full life, each of our family members are individual human beings. And each of us have certain egos, right? It is actually in our DNA that we tend to be selfish. We tend to think about ourselves more than we think about others. I am included too. Like whenever I want to do something, I usually, let's say you guys want to eat first. You guys want to, after go church, you guys want to go to a restaurant. When somebody asks, hey, what do you guys want to eat? Instead of saying, hey, what do you want to eat? And say, oh yeah, I want Thai food today. I feel like eating Thai food. Because we naturally tend to think about ourselves more than we think about other people first. And because of that selfish nature, that those things happens. Like there's conflicts in the family, there is dispute in the family. And what meant to be good, that God creates something good, that's something important in his eyes, it becomes, what do you call it, it's collapsing slowly, right? And God wants us to fix that. And how? I guess this is how. I've been thinking about it, and hopefully I have time to share my testimony a little bit. But it basically can be healed through ministry in the family. So some of you maybe associate the word ministry in the church environment. Actually, ministry, I believe now that ministry should start at your home. Believe it or not, even though you're still a child, maybe you're still depending on your family, depending on your parents, you can minister to them. And I'll give you an example. So fixing what's broken in the family has to go through ministry. Ministry means what? Serving others. Put others' interests and priority more than us. And how to do that, I think, is very, very challenging, but I think it's doable. Okay? 1 John 4:19-21. It says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sisters and their family, let me add that, whom they have seen cannot love God. Cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So if you really love God and you know that God, I know by now, I hope you know by now, God loves you very much. God loves you, and I don't believe he intends to put you in a family. If you are in a family that's very challenging and you grow up like my family, God does not intend you to be like that. But I realized that when God put you there, because there's a purpose, because God loves your family so much that he has to put you there so that you can help ministry for your parents and your family. So don't think of it like, I always think about this too, until when I was growing up. How come I don't have a good parents, for example? How come I don't have a good sister? How come my so-and-so have a very nice parents, have a very nice sister? And not because, well, it's more like because I envy, but then I also missed the whole perspective of this. Until a couple months ago, I was consulted, and my eyes were open, and this pastor told me that, you know why? If you're not in the Christian family, if you don't believe in Christ, then of course you're there because somebody cursed you or somebody wants to put a curse on you. But because you know God, you are there for a purpose. That is to help bring healing to your family. And one way, he said, one way for you to be able to do that is basically you need to learn to love God and to learn how God loves people. God loves every one of you, regardless of how much sin you have made. God loves you no matter how far you've come away, go away from God. He doesn't care where you start. He doesn't care where you are right now. He still loves you, and he wants you to know that. And because of that, he also wants us, once we receive that love, he wants us to also show that love to someone who doesn't necessarily has experienced that love. So, the first one is, let's love God and recognize that God loves us. And because the power of love that God has given us, we will be able to serve our family. Second of all, continue to hold God's promise. That is in that first, Genesis 1. God wants your family, every one of our family, to be a good, loving family. Regardless of how broken it is, regardless of how messed up it is, there's still hope. There's still hope. So start proclaiming that. Start praying about the blessing that God wants to put in your family. Okay? And third, and the last one, is that start serving in a more actionable way. First thing that you can do is that pray for your parents, your brother, your sister, who if they haven't believed in Christ, pray that they also receive the salvation. Okay? And also, in a real situation, whether you are a husband or a wife or still a children of your parents, there are so many things you can do. Okay? So let me go through maybe a couple of roles. For the husbands, some of us here are husbands, correct? And if some of you who are looking for, what do you call this? Future husbands, look at these values, okay? It says on Ephesians 5, it says the husbands, when you want to minister to your family, you need to provide leadership to your wife the way Christ does to his church, not by condescending, but by cherishing them. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. Go all out. That means if your wife is pregnant and he wants some precious fruit that nobody sells, you have to go find it. Go all out. Express love marked by giving, not by getting. So as a husband, we need to continuously give our love to our wives. As Christ loved the church. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness, and that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they already won in marriage. So, husbands, there's lots of things that we should do by basically cherishing our wife, make them beautiful in and out, not the burger. Basically, make them beautiful with cosmetics. I went to Korea all the time. I start buying my wife some cosmetics. Make them beautiful. Make them look good so they feel confident by themselves, right? So also invoke the beauty that is in them. So if you're looking for a husband, look for these kind of traits. If your boyfriend provide you the leadership, especially in the spiritual relationship, that's very good. If he cherish you instead of yelling at you, that's very good. If he go all out, buy you the best flower from Costco, that's that's good. Costco is not good. If he gives you rather than demanding something, that's very good. Okay. So when you come back and your friend told you, hey, what did you learn from the church? Oh, I know how to look for a boyfriend now. And father, for some of us, father, don't exasperate your children by coming down on them. Basically, don't intimidate them. Take them by hand, train them, and lead them in the way of the masters of Christ. So we need to teach our kids to have a Christ-like attitude and behavior, also by showing an example. Okay, so wives, the girls' turns. So, wives, from 1 Peter 3, 1 to 5, it says, understand and support your husband in ways that show your support for Christ. So, boys, if you want to find girls, find that's full of understanding. Be a good wife to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who are indifferent as they are to any words of God will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner dispositions. Cultivate the inner beauty, the gentleness, gracious kind that God delights in. So, wives, what do you do? Be good to your husband and be responsive to their needs. Cultivate your inner beauty. Be gentle. Be gracious. So for those of you who are looking for a girlfriend, looking for future wives, look for these things. And I hope when you're looking for your partners, you're not looking for just, what is it? Cinta monyet, you know, the king love, the monkey king's love, the monkey love. But you're looking for your future spouse. And that's the thing that's very important, because God, when God wants to unite you as a family, as a husband and a wife, it's a one-way street, folks. It's a one-way street, because that's where God's blessing comes through your family. Okay? Okay, so now when you're a children, if you're not interested in having a future partner for now, that's fine. You have your own role too. It says over here, do what parents tell you. This is only right, honor your father and your mother. So I realize some of you are here for studying, and I believe your parents tell you to come here not to say, well, why don't you just go have fun for 4 years? I believe all of them says, come to U.S., go to U.S. and study, learn from the best, learn from the best university in the world. They want you to learn and grow mature. And I believe part of your responsibility is basically do what they wish you to do. When you're here, you can have fun, but also take care of your study, right? Do your best. Don't just play, and then abandon your schools, right? Honor your father and mother, regardless of where they are coming from, how they have treated you. You need to honor your father and mother, okay? Because I realize in the family, in the very, very close relationship, when you're emotionally attached to, that's when usually hurt comes from the most. When, for example, Amy has a lot of friends, our daughter has a lot of friends, but sometimes she feels very hurt when her best friend, Madison, or Kylie in this case, when they say they were bickering, they're not having a good time together, that's really affect her. And she will tell us, you know, Mommy, Kylie's not nice to me, you know, and we have to tell her, oh, that's fine, no, she's just having a bad day, she doesn't hate you. And she feels hurt the most when Kylie or Madison had a fight with her. So the same thing, when you're in the family, you have expectation from your family member, and sometimes they hurt you, and hurt will come. They must have come, and maybe they will come. But instead of focusing on the pain and the bitterness, you need to go back and treat them back with God's love. Treat them back with your ministry. Serve them even though they don't deserve it. Amen? So, love your God. Declare God's promise upon your family and do the right thing. Serve them. And lastly, I know that some of you now here, not with your family physically, right? But if you look to your left and right, front and the back, this is actually your family. I can guarantee you, for those of you who just come here, you're going to a church, no matter which church you go to, you will find a friendship, you will find disputes, you will find disagreements, you will find differences in principles. But that doesn't mean that you just, because of that, you give up. That doesn't mean that when your leaders treat you wrong, when your care group leader treats you wrong, then you should say, I don't want to go to care group anymore. But show them love. Talk to them. I'm sure they're chosen to be leader because they were appointed to be leader because they have the skills necessary to lead you guys. So if you disagree with them, come talk to them. Pray together. That's how you serve your family here. You're here not just because you come and go. Some of us have been here for 15 years. Some of us, actually, Julie and myself, we grew up with friends that we consider as family. When they were sick, we feel sad for them. When they're happy, having a second baby like O'Hare, we're so joyful for them. So these are our family, real family, okay? And I hope every one of you consider this church as an extension of your family. And be open to us as we try to be open for you, okay? And I hope that you can also, as much as we try to extend our love for you, we're always going to come short, not coming to your expectations, but I hope you tell us how we can love you, serve you better, and as such, try to help and serve other people when you're growing up together in this church, you will be the next Coco and Chichi. You will be in this place next time. And I hope every one of you can have this opportunity to serve over here, because this is such a very, it's a life-changing ministry. And you're also in the business of life-changing ministry. So don't take it so lightly. Just love them. Stick to it, because there's power in unity. There's power in the unity of God, of God's family. So I hope the message is clear. I hope ministry, treat your ministry in the church as if you're treating your family. Bring that family values in your ministry in the church. I would like to welcome the music team. All right. Let me give me 5 more minutes. So this is new things. The morning church does not get to experience this. And something I want to show you about this picture. This picture was taken about 3 months ago. This is about basically my family and Amy and a few of my nephews. What's interesting about this picture is that this is the first time I was able to be in the same place, same time with my dad over the course of 4 years. I was growing up, like I told you, I was growing up in a very hard family. When I was, I think, about 6 to 3 years old, I was left to live with servants, pembantu, in somebody else's home. I don't live with my family. At the age of 5 to 10, I, again, we live with my auntie, never living in the same roof as with my parents. So when I was growing up, I had never learned the experience of being loved truly as like a parents love their kids. When I was 10, our house got burned, and one of my sister passed away. He actually passed away August 13, 1992. So I have a lot of traumatized experience. I lost my sister. I never experienced my parents' love. And at the end, there's so many things. For example, things that I remember is that when I was graduating high school, I was second in class with respect to my educations. And the first thing I call is my dad. And I call my dad, "Hey, you know, I was second in my whole class." And I still remember until now what he told me. He told me, "Why can't you be the first?" I expected the response would be like, "Wow, good for you, son. I'm very proud of you." What I got is, "Why can't you be first?" After that, I hang up. So many things. So I feel abandoned since I was young. And I also feel abandoned again. Until I get married, I start my own family. That's when I really had enough. I basically fought with my dad. Not necessarily denouncing him, but I would say, I will never let you come to my family, because I have been broken. I don't want you to break my family. My family means Chiuli and my daughter Amy. Actually, Amy never knew he had a grandfather, because I really talk about him in front of her. Until about 6 months ago, I went to a church in China. For some reason, this pastor asked me about my family, asking about my father. That's when I start telling him what I'm telling you today. So much bitterness, so much anger, that I cannot forgive him. And this is one thing that he told me. He said, "God still loves your dad." I said, I know that. God still loves my dad. And he said that he wants to love him through you. And I'm like, that's impossible. I have never received any love. How can I love back? So he said that, you know, God also created you. And how many times have you broken his heart? I said, many times. Do you still think God loves you? I said, yes, I think so. I said, if God can love you regardless of how he treated him back, you need to treat your dad the same way. So we were lucky enough, after that I repented, 6 months ago I repented. A bitterness that stays for 34 years. It was very hard to let go, but I was able to let it go. And I was able to share it today because I'm not feel ashamed. Some of us will have the same challenges. I don't care about my status. My status is only in front of God. If I am right in front of God, I don't care about everybody else's think of me. And I hope this testimony will give you strength. For some of you who face challenges in your family, like I shared before, share and serve them back with love. So anyway, 3 months ago, my brother, Suryadi, some of you know, graduated from UCLA. And we didn't expect him to come, but he did come. So I had one conversation with him. After 3.5 years, I sat down in the lounge with him. I told him, as much as I want to hit you in the face right now, as much as I hated you so much, I say, I forgive you. Because God forgive me and he loves me. I just left it at that. I said that you maybe try to abandon us. Maybe you don't love us. But I am your son. You don't love me, that's fine. But I do love you. And from then, every night, I pray God about him so that he may receive salvation. Amy, who never know about his grandfather, now knows that he has a grandfather, because we pray about him every night. Pray with Amy that her grandfather will soon be united with his family and to receive Christ, to become the grandfather, the father that he should be. And I believe that goes through us, through me, basically us, my family. So this topic is very dear to me, because family is something that you will hold dear. When you die, you don't think about your money, you don't think about your status or how much you've made, how much high you were in the positions. You think about your family and what you have done. And I don't want to die regretting that I have once a chance to amend my relationship with my family. So I hope for some of you who are experiencing the same thing, take your time. This is your chance to fix what's broken. Serve your family. And if you can serve your family regardless of how they treat you, I'm sure you can treat your family here in the church. Amen. God bless you guys.